These are the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. You may experience enjoyment walking through these doors. It's hard to say, really, but at some point, you'll want to talk back, and they'll expect it because their opinions are unworthy of most of humanity. They're not real lawyers. They're not. Stop thinking that they are. If you really want to get in touch with them, you can email them at qsblawoffices@gmail.com or find them on Twitter, @qsblawoffices. Walk through the door right now, though. Pay that retainer. You won't get your money's worth. Welcome back to the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker on this September 23rd, 2020. If you want to reach the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, please email us at qsblawoffices@gmail.com or head to Twitter @qsblawoffices. Now, we have come across a new client today. Our client is Habits of Infernal Origin. Essentially, what that means is those bad habits we have that come from a dark place. You know, it could be anything is like the monkey on a person's back, like maybe just doing too much heroin, or like what Greg's doing right now, which is smoking those coffin nails that are so popular. And drinking. So two of those are going on. But would you consider those to be bad habits, Greg? Do you think that's smoking and drinking is actually bad? Or has it just got a bad rap?
Smoking definitely is, without a question. I think alcohol is necessary for day-to-day functions, sanity. I think we'd all go a little crazy if we didn't have that little escape valve in a can or bottle.
So are you suggesting that I am crazy, Greg?
No, you're temporarily insane, but you have a drink every now and then. You've just been a teetotaler for the past couple of months.
Since March, I've had one shot of tequila.
Yeah.
And that's it for any form of alcohol that's got... Whoa, wait, that's not quite true. I think when I was in Wyoming, and I was at the restaurant at the resort I was in Wyoming, the ski resort where there was no skiing happening because there was no snow, I think I had an alcoholic beverage there. So maybe two drinks I've had since March. But
did it feel like heaven to you? Was it like, oh, this is good?
No, it was kind of like, bliss. I'm with my kids. I can't get drunk.
Yeah.
So I had the one, and that's pretty much it. But yeah, I'm not like a huge fan of alcohol in and of itself. You know, for me, it's usually there's a point to it when I'm trying to achieve. That's why it never became a habit for me.
Yeah. But cigarettes are all bad. I mean, I barely even get pleasure from these things anymore. I literally don't. It's just a sick habit.
So when you got pleasure from them, what pleasure did you get from cigarettes?
Oh, it just felt great smoking them. I don't know what it was. It was nice just to, I used to smoke clove cigarettes a lot. And they were sweet. And every inhale was pleasurable. In the past 5 years, it's just I'm usually just like I can't wait till the cigarette's done.
Whatever. So you know, I always thought they should have made clover cigarettes since they had clove. They should just like one step away, just add the R and you'd have a whole different kind of cigarette.
Sure.
And it would
wheat
just
grass
be
cigarettes
specifically for Irish people.
Shamrock.
I'm okay. I don't like where this is heading.
I don't even know where this is heading, Brendan. Where do you see this heading?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would agree with Greg that cigarettes are definitely a bad habit. They're a horrible habit. I'm working on kicking. I've kicked it before, and then it came back. You know, I have friends, and I want to punch them right in the face. I have these friends.
Great that, friends.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic. I love them to death, but I want to punch them in the face because Greg can understand because he probably has similar friends. You'll go out somewhere, and you'll have a couple of drinks, and this asshole can just, like, smoke a couple of cigarettes, and that's it. He's done.
Oh, I hate those guys.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't smoke cigarettes for 11 years. Then I was doing like some construction work, and all the guys were smoking, and I wasn't, and they're all standing around on break smoking cigarettes, and I'm like, give me one of those. Boom. Right back. Next day, I bought a pack. Boom.
Oh, wow. But that first cigarette must have tasted like crap, though. It must have tasted just like an ashtray.
No.
No?
No.
It tasted like heaven.
I was like, oh, right. I mean, maybe the first couple of drags, I was like, oh, God. But then, like, by the third or fourth, I was like, all right, I remember this. This is after 11 years of not smoking. So,
no, wow. So at that stage, you decide to pick up this bad habit again, right? So, and it wasn't peer pressure. It was just you going, did you want to just fit in with the boys or something? Or you were having this nostalgic moment towards cigarettes where you were like, you know, I want to try that again? Because I quit. I used to smoke. And I smoked for like 20 years. And I quit about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. Yeah. And I was able to kind of eliminate the urges for having cigarettes, so I can be around people who smoke all the time, and I just don't have that desire to grab it. But it's because I did a little mental shift in my head where I just decided that I was a non-smoker. Like, I just don't smoke, you know. So it's kind of like, I don't shoot heroin, I don't take PCP, I don't do crystal meth, and I don't smoke either. That made it kind of an easier mindset to kick that sucker. But I was just curious, like, you went and bought a pack the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Was it the next day? But it was certainly it was certainly within the week. Was I trying to fit in? Nah. It was just, I was just standing there, and I felt like, you know, fuck. But really the main thing was that I thought I could do that because of those friends that I want to punch in the face. I thought, I'll have a cigarette. I have not smoked for 11 years. I'll have a cigarette with these guys and, you know, kind of be part of the scene and whatever, and then it'll be fine.
That reminds me of a guy I knew who was like, he was in his 40s, and, you know, he had led basically a clean life, had done drugs and stuff at certain points in life, but had stopped doing it. But he said at the age of 40, he wanted to start trying crystal meth because he figured he could do a couple of times and then he would be fine. And turns out it didn't work out that way for him. He wound up seriously addicted and losing pretty much everything in his life. And basically,
that's a shocker.
He was able to finally get it turned around with help, you know, from like a rehab area. But yeah, it's interesting when people go, you know, I think I could do that and I'll be okay. And it makes you
In Tucson, I knew a guy in a punk rock band. I played music with him, and he saw all of our friends get, like, some of them die from heroin. So he hated heroin all through his 20s. And in his 30s, he just started saying, well, I know how dangerous it is. I just want to try it once. I hear it's really great. I won't get hooked because I know how bad it can be. And within a month, he was stealing people's TV sets and shit. It was so fucking pathetic. We listened to him talk about this intellectually, and we were like, I don't know, John. This sounds like a good idea. And then he was basically a degenerate drug addict for like 5-6 years. Then he cleaned himself up. But he really fell fast and hard.
At what point did it become degenerate, though? I mean, so you have a drug addict, friends. Then you have degenerate drug addict.
Yeah, when you can't even control it, you're robbing people and for your habit.
So that would be an infernal habit, I guess, is just the major monkeys. You know?
Yeah.
And then you have ones that maybe aren't quite so infernal. You know,
like biting your nails?
That could be bad because you could bite through your fingers, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
People just keep going. They're just going to gnaw down to the wrist.
There are just certain habits that are kind of socially unacceptable. I think chewing your nails in front of people is one,
in my opinion. I think spitting around people used to be unacceptable, but it's become a little more acceptable. Also, profanity used to be a lot less acceptable, and these days it's pretty much
that's just fucking ridiculous.
But it's like at grocery stores, it's the G-rated movies, parents will be doing it around other kids, and you go, at what point did that start being okay? You know,
when did people realize?
Well, I was just wondering, when do we get desensitized?
I just think people realize that it's not a bad thing. Who cares if somebody says fuck? It doesn't hurt anyone. It's not an evil thing to do to curse. Sometimes it adds
currently, to the language. Currently, yes, but way back when, you wanted to protect the fairer people from dirty language. You know, it wasn't
people with vaginas you're talking about.
What are we protecting them from exactly?
Yeah, there's nothing to protect.
I think it was
them.
Like the meaning of those words. What was the intent behind them? I think that's what was the issue back in the day. You know, was you
so did, like so like shit.
Yes.
Versus poop.
Right.
They're both the same thing.
Right, but for some reason, one is more offensive than others. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, for some dumb reason. I know a friend who's grew up Mormon, and she still has relatives, grown adults, who they'll actually yell out swear word instead of a curse. But it's like that's a curse for you, though. You are cursing, because fuck is a nonsense word. It just really doesn't. It's just some word. So if you're yelling out swear
words,
not
some word. Fuck means to have sex.
I know, but it's just it's really, if you didn't know that, it's just a syllable. Fuck.
Well, that's like any word, Greg. If you don't know what it means, you don't.
I know, but
it's
swear
it's
word.
Be like
fuck. Wait a minute. Fuck, as per George Carlin, has a lot more meanings that I think you're aware of what I'm talking about than just sex. It's an adjective.
Well, initially it was that way. That's how it started.
Right.
But certainly it has changed. It has gone and evolved into a wide variety of things. If anybody's interested, they can go look up George Carlin, and there's a lot of routines that he does things about words.
Yeah, it's a great word. It's a multi-purpose tool.
It's one of the most flexible words in the English language. Yeah. I think it's not celebrated as much as it should be.
Well, it depends upon, you know, if you want to get sparklers and light up some fireworks for it.
I think children should learn.
Celebrate it appropriately.
Children should learn all the various iterations of fucking school and grammar because there's so many.
I think they do.
Well, from the teachers. To use it properly with proper grammar.
If the teachers know how to use them properly. Well, of course, they must use it all the time because they have to deal with the children.
Yes. Or they just say, swear word.
Well, no, it's like the term, the F word has become a swear word.
Yeah.
Right? The N word has become a swear word, you know. But that's one you can't really get away with saying if you're a decent human being anymore because of how that invalidates the existence of certain classes.
Yeah, it's hateful. Saying fuck isn't hateful to anyone unless you're saying fuck you.
Unless you're saying it to, like, people who are celibate.
Not me.
Yeah, not to be controversial, but let's just examine this for just a second.
Let's get controversial.
Why is the N-word so heinous when it's dropped on the regular by people of color? If it's so heinous, why do they say it?
Because that's their way of taking back the word and eliminating the meaning of it for them so that this is my theory, so that when some actual racist simpleton white supremacist type uses it in a hateful way, they can just laugh at them as opposed to feeling like they're about to be lynched or pulled behind a truck or whatever the hell those morons.
But you notice that gays have done it differently. Gays have taken back the word, and it's okay to say queer nation, or, like, you know, as a heterosexual, I can write an article about the queer nation or the queer peoples.
I think it also works, like, if you're part of
that
ethnic group or that religious group or that marginalized group, then it's more okay for you to use it. Now, there used to be this show on YouTube called Retarded Policeman, which was essentially a guy who had Down syndrome, who would dress as a policeman, and he would have various different adventures. And his reason for doing that was to take back the word retarded so that it wasn't being used as an invective towards people who have that syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting, you know, how language changes. What's that?
He impersonated a police officer to take back the word retard?
Well, it was fictional.
That sounds retarded.
It was fictional.
It
wasn't done, like, in real life circumstances. He wasn't going up and actually arresting. But, you know, that was, in my opinion, watching it, it seemed exploitative, because if you're talking a person who's got Down syndrome into going ahead with something like this, it kind of seems like you're taking advantage of them for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. But the guy seemed intelligent enough in the depths of his Down syndrome to be able to discuss it with people who did bring that up during the course of those episodes. There were websites, they went around for a number of years. Anyway, the only point I'm making is just that, you know, language does definitely change. And because of, I think, the constant use of saying fuck on television and getting it bleeped out, people have gotten desensitized to it. So it loses a lot of the meaning. But then other words have taken on more meaning and have become more offensive. Like, sometimes if you call a person who was formerly in prison a bitch, or call them a bitch while they're in prison, them's fighting words, and you could actually get stabbed for saying something like that to somebody, right?
That's... Well, I mean, I haven't served any considerable amount of time, and I wouldn't want somebody to call me a bitch.
Right, but if I said bitch to you, it really wouldn't mean that much, right? But in prison, it's a lot more vehement. There's a lot more vitriol behind it whenever you're accusing somebody of being a bitch in prison. And the only reason I say this is I've watched a number of those 60 Days Later shows. you know, where I get a little bit educated. Are you not familiar with those particular programs?
No, 60 Days Later must be on cable television.
Yeah, I think it's like on A&E, but I was watching it on Hulu, and essentially the premise behind that show is they send like 7 or 8 people in undercover, normal everyday citizens, to go undercover into prisons, not jails, but they go under, they go into jails, not prisons, sorry, and to find out like where drugs are coming in and what the treatment of the prisoners is like, and it's usually set up by the sheriff of that particular county, because so these are change something.
These are county lockups. These aren't state penitentiaries.
Yeah, these are county lockups.
Those guys are all pussies. Come on, county lockup.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised how long some of the people stay in those county lockups. They can be there for years in those county lockups. Yeah, and it can be worse than the federal pens or the state pens because of the very low amount of budgets that go into taking care of the people in those. So the conditions tend to be very overcrowded, and there's like often insane people in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't get as bad as having like serial killers on the block with you, but so there is, I think, a little more sanity at the county level than more, but still drugs get in quite easily. And you also get to see the situations with how the guards treat the prisoners as well. So anyway, the point I'm making is just getting back to the word bitch, you know, that word in that particular circumstance holds a lot of weight. I remember one time I was talking to some guy who was homeless and he was just being a jerk. I said, you know, why are you acting like a dick? And he took that completely offended. And I didn't realize it was going to create that much drama within that particular conversation, you know. And so I was apologizing for it because, you know, sometimes you just don't know how, the effect that words are going to have on people.
Especially crazy homeless people. You never know what's going to set those fuckers on.
Well, that's right. Greg, do you have something you want to say about that? Greg, do you have a comment regarding homeless people? Oh, it's impossible for you to comment because you're muted. So you're talking. We see your lips moving.
Sorry,
but
guys.
No words are
I
coming
out. I hit the button on accident.
No, you didn't do it on accident. That's why I
did.
Sent it to you.
I did do it on accident.
Because he's busy conducting his infernal habit of smoking.
I know, but
prevent the breathing into the microphone, people.
I think any curse word, even if it's a just like you stinker or something, if that's a curse, if you say it with a tone, people aren't going to like it.
Okay.
So if you say you're a jerk, isn't very strong. But if you know if somebody says to me you're a jerk, I'd be like, that doesn't feel nice. If you call it a jerk.
So what you're saying now, though, is that words do have a meaning to you, whereas before you were saying that they didn't really like the word fuck.
No, when you use them badly. Like if I say you're a fucker, that's not nice to hear, but you can say fuck all you want. Hey, it's fucking great. What a fucking great party. That doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. That's a sign of joy, celebration.
Okay. So it's then the intent comes down to it.
Yeah.
All right. So is that a good or a bad habit, though? Because some people may not recognize the intent. They just know the bad word.
If I say it's a fucking great party, that's their problem. If they get offended at me saying a totally nice thing, like, that was such a thank you for your fucking great time.
Oh, it's their problem, is it?
Yeah. It's stupid to not like a word.
So you just don't care. So it's their problem. So if somebody doesn't wear a mask, you know, and they're around you, it's your problem, not theirs, because they're not wearing a mask, right?
Well, yeah, it's their.
Because you're offended by the fact that, well, still.
If somebody is offending you, then it is kind of your problem.
Well, of course.
But what if,
But at the same time.
You can choose not to be offended.
It's incumbent, of course, about anything, right?
Sure.
It's incumbent upon the person who is saying the offensive thing to recognize that they're offending somebody else. Right, and to gauge whether or not it's worth not offending them
is that pre or post statement?
Pre or
are they supposed to is the righteous person or the person who's doing the right thing supposed to filter before he speaks, or then speak and then realize this person has a problem with it and I should take responsibility for it? Like your example of talking to the homeless person and calling him a dick, you called him a dick and he took offense to it.
Right.
But you didn't think to yourself ahead of time, maybe I shouldn't call this dick a dick. You just called him a dick. And then
Well, perhaps I should have. Let's put it this way. Let's say the president of the United States, and I wouldn't put it past him, decided to just lace his next speech filled with profanity and invective, but done without intentionally targeting any particular group of people. What would that seem like? Suddenly, it's like, I want to welcome everyone to the fucking State of the Union, and
We're gonna have a fucking great time tonight. I'm gonna tell you how great the fucking economy's been doing.
The economy's been fucking great. We got fucking jobs for all the fuckers out there. I think that could potentially cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, but it's sad that that would cause problems, not like constantly lying and undermining the Bill of Rights every day. That's okay.
But if he says fuck a few times. That's a different issue.
But the question is, are we talking about the current president or some imagined president?
Any president, really. I mean, like,
come on, guys. If Barack Obama had come out and said, "Look here, motherfuckers, we're kicking ass," there would have been a whole bunch of people that would have been like standing. Oh,
I don't know
absolutely.
About that.
Oh, absolutely.
Fox News would have lost their shit.
Oh, I'm sure Fox News would have lost their shit.
Well, yeah, and all of the hypocritical evangelists would have lost it as well.
Yeah, sure. I would have loved it, though. I would have been like,
but
wow, this
I would have loved it. You guys would have thought it was funny or entertaining or whatever.
Yeah. I would have thought it inappropriate, personally. I would have said that. I would have thought very
it depends. It depends. Okay, yeah. So let's we're going to drill down on this. So,
okay.
If he's at a state dinner with heads of state and he gets up and he starts laying the fucking F-bombs, yeah, that's super inappropriate. If he's at a press conference and somebody yells some shit at him and he says he drops an F-bomb, really? Are you offended?
I'm not personally offended, but I think in terms of decorum, there's something to be said about decorum, I think. And I think that if you're able to, in moments like that, take the high road, I think there's something to be gained by that.
I don't
think you have to get
you.
Down in the dirt with everybody.
I don't
think that has to
you.
Happen. Yeah.
But I think decorum is overrated.
Maybe. But what would we know, right?
I don't know.
We don't have
any
decorum.
I'm the least decorum person I know.
So it's easy for us to say.
Absolutely.
We have no class.
Right.
So, we're like a school at nighttime.
Sure. We're basically all of the, I can't even think of an analogy at the moment, but we're just monkeys. Let's just put it that way. We're monkeys.
I'm going to try to be more decorumish in the future.
Really? I don't know.
That's going to be my little project.
You're going to like
self-help.
You're going to listen to yourself talk before the words come out of your mouth.
Yeah. No, I'm just not going to talk. I think that would be the best thing. Just don't talk.
Just stay mute.
Sit there and shut up and you won't offend anyone.
So if you're working at Burgerville, do you often say, did you like your fucking burger to people whenever they...
Well, I don't have to talk to customers, but I say fuck plenty. When I get hot oil on my hands, I'm just, fuck, ow.
That'll do it. You also sound a little bit like a crow when you do that.
Oil on the wing. I wanted to defend one bad habit. I think picking your nose is necessary sometimes, and it's considered such a faux pas. You know, try to do it when no one's looking.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta get that booger out of there. It's making it hard to breathe. Unpleasant.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I gotta get it.
No, nose picking is fine. Farting is fine. It's just where you do it.
Yeah, farting is something you really can't control. You can control nose picking though.
Yeah.
You can. I don't know. Maybe I have some sort of superpower I didn't realize. It's not that the ones with the something will slip, but I kind of know when I'm gonna fart, and I can go. If I'm in a room with people, I can move somewhere else.
I remember my mother telling me that my dad would never farted in public. And I thought about it, and I went, you know, I don't think I ever heard him do that.
Then I
look back at my own history, and I'm like, I am not my father.
Yeah, I can tell you, I can count on maybe two hands in recent history that I actually absolutely accidentally farted in a public place.
My dad would fart in front of us, not in a public place, but like we were in the car, we always knew he farted because it rolled down the windows even though it was 20 below. It rolled down the window. I was like, oh, dad, that went out.
No, yeah, my dad never did anything like that, never blamed anything on the dog. My dad was a pretty hardcore straight arrow type. And a military, everything controlled type of individual. So I think that's probably why. Yeah, well, you know, he's now retired, living near you, actually, Brendan.
Where?
Oh, I can't even remember the town, but
he's right outside your door right now.
He's tried with his him blind in one eye. I think it's somewhere north of you in the Tampa Bay area, though. I just can't remember.
Brooksville?
Nah, I don't remember the name of the town.
Spring Hill?
Nope.
Freaktown?
Port Richey?
No, not even Newport Richey. Neither one. It wasn't in either of those.
Gimpville?
Hey.
What are you saying about my dad, Greg?
No, I'm talking about the freak towns around Florida. We're the
all right, that's a different episode.
Yeah.
All right, so picking your nose, Greg. So do you do it around other people a lot?
No, I try to hide it. But
do you ever like show them the thing that you conquered, the golden nugget that you were working at so hard to get out?
My brothers used to have friends who would be so proud of their shits and be like, "You got to see this shit I just took. Come to the bathroom." They wanted people to see their.
Did it look like Jesus huge it or was. Something? What is?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was a unicorn-shaped poop. Or no, I think it was just because of the size. They were so proud of their humongous donkey shit.
Wow, they had to show it off. That's a weird fetish.
That is so. That's a very bad habit. Just that. Not even that doing the shit, but requiring people to come and look at it and admire it and go, you obviously held that in there for a couple of days and you did a great job of acting like a cow in a pasture. Yeah, and that's another thing, cows in pastures. It's not when I was a kid, I lived in Pennsylvania and we were near in farm territory, and we would go play baseball in pastures and you would find sometimes you need to be careful where you stepped because your leg could go in it.
And the whole leg?
Not the whole leg, but because we were kids, it could get up halfway up the shin.
I knew that when I worked at a cafe in the 80s in Tucson, there was this guy who used to come and we called him Zog because he looked like a caveman. He had a very low brow. And
is Zog a normal name for cavemen?
It sounds like a caveman name to me. And he'd grunt basically. And this guy was really in a roughage. So he'd always eat the whole melon rind, the honeydew. He wanted to eat the rind.
He ate the rind.
Yeah, because he was really into being, a good digestion. And he would take these dinosaur-sized shits in our bathroom and clog the toilet once a week. And it always come out. He wouldn't brag about it. He would just say, "Your bathroom's broken." As if he didn't have anything to do with it. And it's because you keep taking these fucking dinosaur shits in our toilet.
Cantaloupe rind.
They were huge. They were seriously the size of a horse. A horse turd. They were huge.
Like an actual horse, not the turd. The horse
a pony at least. They were so
the
fucking big.
The man shit the pony.
Yes. Wow. I guess that's not a bad habit, though.
There is eating the rind, because does that have any nutritional value at all?
I think it's roughage, so I guess it was part of his diet.
That's kind of saying eating tree bark is roughage. I don't know that it's necessarily good for you.
Well, it could be, yeah. Maybe it's bad for you. It's good to have good.
I think the bad habit here is taking immense dumps in public places.
That's an incredibly bad habit.
That's a terrible thing.
That the only thing that's good for is handling roaches, roach control in a particular environment. Just
I mean, I know I go completely out of my way to not shit in public.
Oh yeah, I hate doing it in public.
Do you guys think that public urination? So, what do you guys think about public urination? Do you guys have a bad habit?
Yes, Greg.
Really?
You mean if you're just doing it in the middle of a restaurant? What are you talking about?
No, you're walking home late at night and you got to pee and I don't want to pee my pants. It's and pee is astringent. It's not taking a shit, which can spread disease. So it's not going to hurt anyone. And it's but it's considered so bad.
The smell of it can be horrible, though. I mean, why would you do that in public and ruin other people's smells?
That doesn't really, in my opinion, fall in the category of habit.
Well, I think for some people it might be.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you habitually pee in public, then you've got a problem.
I did.
If you're walking home and you got to pee, and otherwise it's a problem, and so you go into the bushes and you pee, whatever. No fault, no harm. But if you're if you're just actively seeking out places to go publicly urinate.
I wasn't actively. I used to walk dogs 6 days a week, and they were 2-hour walks, and I'd have to pee. I have a small bladder, so I was always peeing in public, at least every day.
Did you pee with the dogs? You use the same fire hydrant with them?
No, they never. We were never on the same cycle, unfortunately.
Well, they probably peed a lot more often than you. But yeah. I would think the one time you would want to go, you would talk to the dog and go, "Hey, where's your favorite spot? I'm going to go there with you."
Yeah.
Just to show camaraderie with the dog.
Yeah, I'd be trying to. I'm like, "Look how high I can pee, dog."
I don't have to lift my leg. But, sometimes, Greg, I wonder, you bring up things on the podcast, and I think the podcast is used by you to learn social niceties sometimes. You're trying to find justifications for bad behavior.
I need to know these things.
Let me find out if it's okay to pee in public a lot.
Remember when we were talking about like what it's like being alone? It's like you lose track of social mores and what's normal. So you guys are my go-to for like, okay, guys, am I drifting too far from the norm?
Well, I'm assuming there's a point in your life where you did generally know what the right thing was to do, and you're saying you drifted away from that? Is that
some of them I rejected. I just said, I'm not going to pee in my pants and be all uncomfortable for an hour walk home. I'm going to pee.
Well, why not just pee in your pants and be uncomfortable on the walk home? What's wrong with that, Greg?
That's horrible.
Nice damp pants.
That's uncomfortable, yeah, especially when it's cold. Well, it does warm you, I guess.
So then the question becomes, is it okay to pee my pants in public on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's a pretty bad habit, too, right there.
You know,
right?
If I had to pick my next-door neighbor and he peed in the bushes down the street or he just came home every day with his wet pants, I probably want him to pee in the bush.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. His laundry bill.
Him and his pee pants. His little dirty pee pants.
That just seems like, come on, man.
Now, shitting in public's a whole different issue because that's, you know, like I don't even like when people don't pick up their dog poop, that really angers me when I almost step in dog shit. Oh. So a human would do the same, you know, I'd be just as angry at a human shit.
Okay, so you're okay with them peeing in public, just not
pooping in public. Yeah, it just disappears. It goes into the grass, you know.
Except for the smell and the death of the grass.
No, I heard it's good for grass. The death of the grass. Pee is good for vegetation.
Apparently Greg is pissing hydrochloric acid and just killing grass and natural wildlife with his urine.
That's because Greg comes from another planet
and this blood was replaced
with hydrochloric acid. He's a walking acid bag. Alright, let's try a different bad habit then. What do you think about people who eat with their mouth open? Like,
oh, I do that a lot. Shit. I'm going to be quiet about this.
Some people consider it a bad habit, you know, because it's like,
I mean, I don't know. It's a degree thing. I mean, I don't think I would be overly offended if somebody did that. Yeah. I mean, unless it was just, like, there was a guy I worked with, and he would make these giant plates of God knows what, and he did that. He ate with his mouth open. The biggest problem wasn't necessarily anything other than the ambient sound and that I was in the office. You know, so I'm like on the phone with
click
a customer.
On a pen.
Yeah, I'm on the phone with a customer trying to talk loud as this guy's like, arf, arf, arf,
arf. Oh my lord!
Is that like the noise? T-Rex? That was the noise he made.
Kinda.
So it wasn't even just the chewing part; it was the initial biting part was bad too.
Yeah, he just made a lot of fucking noise. I mean, if you wanted to, fine. But did you have to like accentuate the noise? I even brought it up to him, like, dude, is it really necessary to make that amount of noise while you're eating? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you make a lot of noise. Like, I've had customers go, what's that noise? Literally.
It's a dinosaur. Got a dinosaur in my office.
I don't make a lot of noise, but I do with my mouth open, and people have remarked how unsavory it is. And I got to say, though, it's so much more pleasurable to eat that way. When I try to eat with my mouth closed, it's not as pleasurable.
Wait a second. What's the difference between having your mouth open or closed other than making smacking noises?
I don't know. I don't think I make that. I'm not that loud, but you can see my mouth open and see food in there.
The food
bits spitting
out. It's not pleasant,
apparently. Yeah, people don't like it, apparently. But I really try, and it just makes eating not as fun or something. I don't know. Not as good an experience.
Does that explain the many times you've spit in my face by accident? When you
That's a different thing. I don't want to spit. That doesn't make talking to you more pleasurable.
Like overactive salivary glands, and suddenly I get hit in the eye, Greg.
I am known for that. I'm pretty bad.
I had a friend in college.
I was going to say, are you a frequent gleeker?
What's gleeking?
Gleeking is when, for whatever reason, usually, sometimes if you're going to eat something or something sour or you're eating something spicy, this stream of saliva just sort of pops out of your mouth. That's called gleeking.
He doesn't have a stream. It's just like little spittle.
Random spittles.
See, I thought a gleek was the thing that was basically like passing a kidney stone. It was the thing that passed through your urethra as a gleek. That's what I thought a gleek was.
No, it's what you're talking about. It's that spittle that just sort of happens when somebody's talking.
It's also a caveman name, too.
Gleek Zog and Zog. And Gleek. That was the original Odd Couple, Gleek and Zog. Like one of them cleaned up the cave. The other one just made a mess in the cave. Kept leaving, like, animal droppings throughout the cave. And the other one was like, what are you doing? You got to clean this up. And he went out.
And then hijinks would ensue in the place.
He had a lot of hijinks through Zog and Gleek's.
Gleek was really upset about Zog. Yeah, Zog's giant shits really pissed Gleek off.
Because he was eating all the watermelon rind as well as the rind around the saber-toothed tiger. So what I was saying before was that a friend in college used to eat with his mouth open, and he would be kind of loud, like that noise. So the way I found to address that was instead of saying something to him directly, I just started making that sound louder. So he was like, making that sound, so I started going.
When he goes low, you go lower. That was your motto.
Well, I like people to recognize that they are recognized as well.
Yeah.
You know, that they, what they're doing has been seen, has been noticed, and perhaps, you know, you can make a judgment about it, or you can let me keep making fun of you. Your choice.
Yeah,
you don't mind me making fun of you? I'll just keep doing it because I enjoy it, but that's just me.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't think I've had a lot of people in my life that were open-mouth eaters.
Yeah, there's not a lot of them, but they're out there here and there.
Yeah, other than this one guy at the office, and it was mostly just the goddamn noise.
All right,
what would you guys say is your worst habit?
My worst habit is probably procrastination. Just putting things off.
Oh, that's an easy out. Procrastination. Come on, you've got a dirty habit that you don't want to talk about.
Well, I do have a picture of you that I sit on a lot. But I didn't want to talk about that one.
Well,
that's not a
habit. Since you made me bring that one up.
That's beyond a habit.
Well, no, I mean, procrastination is the one main thing that bothers me the most, and I think has messed up my life the most, really, is because so many things just don't get done when they need to get done, and not doing things when I should do them. And
I get it.
Things that are incomplete, and then you pile on and pile on. It's just
I get it. But what I'm saying is, we're talking about farting in public, open mouth chewing, booger picking, smoking to a certain extent. You're talking about something that's more or less mostly internal. I wouldn't know that if
it's
you
still
and I
a habit.
Yeah, but I'm talking about habits that other people would notice that you would go.
He wants something gross. That's what he wants.
No, I don't want something gross. Mine would be smoking. I know that smoking is a filthy habit. I know that most of the people I know don't smoke. And I feel I like have to go outside. I have to. It's like, yeah.
The leper colony.
Yeah, it's
horrible. So you want like an overt habit that is recognized by other people that I should feel, that I feel shame for, something like that?
I don't give a shit if you feel shame for it. I don't. I'm not shamed because I smoke. I just know it's a filthy habit.
Yeah.
But my point is that I could say, you know, I just really don't put enough time in my own personal development. That's my bad habit. Oh, come on.
Matt, I think yours is crotch-grabbing.
Well, like most of my habits are like that, though. Most of those are the personal development habits that I can think of. You know, it's like I don't smoke and I don't really drink that often and I don't really pick my nose in public and I don't really fart around people except for like family.
So are
people around you impacted by your procrastination?
Because things don't get done in the house and it starts to feel like I'm creating a hoarding environment by letting things continue to go on. But see, for me, that's more of my problems is they're more passive issues than active issues. So I'm not out spitting on people. I think probably my bigger habit is probably just being a smartass more than anything else. Being mean, I guess, would be the thing that would affect other people more than others. But you guys would know better than me.
Yeah.
No.
It's kind of a habit. I don't think you can stop yourself from saying
a lot of it's pretty unintentional. You know, they come out.
I think we've talked about this. And that is itself a habit for sure.
Yes, yeah, and it's something that I continue to recognize, and I have to make a judgment after I say something too, and go, oh, did I say something mean? was that? Should I not have said that one? I'm like, well, we'll see. I mean, they'll either say something about it or not, and we'll just.
Or they'll never talk to you again.
Right, there's always that possibility, but I'm used to that. I don't have any friends, so that's.
I have too many bad habits. This show would be 4 hours long, so we're good.
All right, well, let's.
How about this one? How about
smoking.
Talking during movies in a movie theater for a bad habit?
That's
but
bad
I'm just
habit.
Saying that we're doing these bad habits. I'm just saying that is a habit that some people do.
Oh,
it doesn't happen every time in the theaters, but it happens enough when we were still going to theaters before, you know, the virus hit, that you go, what the hell's wrong with people? Why are they talking during this? It's like they think it's their house or something.
Well, now we have new bad habits because of cell phones. Like, I was just talking about this the other day. Like, I have friends my age. They're not millennials. They're not, like, they don't have the excuse that they grew up with this shit. And you'll be, like, having dinner with them, just you and them. And they'll be looking at Facebook, chuckling to themselves, ignoring you. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm sitting right here. You're ignoring me for your Facebook or your Tinder page or whatever. It's crazy.
But they're chuckling to themselves?
Yeah, they wouldn't even share it with me. They wouldn't say,
don't light that cigarette, Greg. Do not light that cigarette. You just had one like a minute ago. You don't need to suck another one down.
Well, I do.
You don't need to put the bad habits on display for the bad habit episode.
We're just pointing out bad habits. We're not trying to stop them on this episode. That's too much to ask for.
But despite his chain smoking, because, I mean, I smoke. He's amazing. Maybe he's just chain smoking. Do you smoke this much all the time?
No, he doesn't.
No, but usually when I'm on the phone, I do chain smoke. Right? It's this thing.
So being on the phone is kind of a trigger?
Yeah, if I'm in a phone call, if I didn't have cigarettes, I'd be just like, yeah.
When I get in my car, that's a trigger for me. Like, if I get in my car, I got to light a cigarette.
Or waiting for the bus. If I had to wait for the bus, I'm just like, I don't even feel like a cigarette.
But I can imagine.
But I'm going to smoke a cigarette because I have 5 minutes before the bus comes.
Yeah, I get it.
But back in the day when I rode a bus and I smoked, it was almost a sure sign that the bus would be coming up soon if I finally lit a cigarette.
Yes, that is.
Because that's when the bus would usually show up. I'd have to put it out. I'm like, that's not okay. So, all right, so let's do another bad habit. How about public displays of affection by people?
I never cared about that.
I don't care.
God bless people if they can't even wait to go home and make out.
So good, you'd be okay with them just having sex right in front of you, really?
Ah, that's a little much.
Where's the line drawn? Where is
in it? My world, Matt, in my perfect world, that would be fine. If I was at a bar and two people wanted to fuck, I'm a hippie at heart, an old flaming liberal.
Right.
Ideally, I really don't care. I'm not going to say, what assholes? I can't believe they're fucking in front of me. I'd be like, good for them.
Yeah. But does it depend upon how much clothing they're wearing or not? Would you be okay if they just took off all their clothes right in front of you?
That might be a bonus.
Say it like McDonald's or something.
I watch porn. There's a habit right there, a bad habit maybe some people consider. And so it would be like, hey, free porn. I'm getting free porn right now. Live. Live sex show.
3D, right?
Yeah, live.
So there's no line in the sand for you there?
No, I'm saying, but I know people, like, if some teenage kids are making out on the bus, they're all just like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, shut up. They're in love. You know.
I just don't like hearing fluids being put back in between people.
You can hear them. Slosh, slosh. Well,
it's like the talking with your mouth open. It's like having sex with your mouth open. It's smacking noises. Yeah, you know, it just skeeves me out a little bit.
Public displays of affection are fine with me. I mean, you kind of took it to, you know, fucking a McDonald's. That's unsanitary.
Yeah,
so that right. Kinda, so there's like a line. It's like, where does that line get drawn?
Yeah, the line is naked body slapping flesh on a table in McDonald's. That's, you know.
But if they're not naked, then it's okay? What are you talking about? I think the line is even before that.
Oh, so if he's just slipping his cock out of his jeans and kind of like dorking her in the back while they're waiting for their McNuggets, is that what you're talking about?
I'm saying, is that your line? What do you said the line in the sand was with the people being naked at McDonald's. I would think the line would go back a lot farther.
I think it's when bodily fluids are exchanged. That's when it becomes unhealthy. When jism could get on your Big Mac. Or pussy juices can be on your fries.
I'm not going to be that close to them to get any of their... I mean, unless he's Superman, I'm not getting his jizz on my Big Mac.
Unless you're there trying to catch it with a bun opener.
But again, that goes into, you know... That goes into existing laws of, you know, public nudity and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, but that's laws. We're not talking about laws. We're just talking about, you know, things that are bad habits.
Okay, then I don't give a shit. They want a fucking McDonald's, fine. I'll just move to the other part of the McDonald's. But if they do it in the ball pit, that's where I draw the line. They can't fuck in the ball pit.
That's wrong. Yeah.
Right, because they get the ball stuck in their asses. All right, so what would be another bad habit? How about Facebook, Greg? You think Facebook addiction is a bad habit, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, when people are ignoring me, my friends, I haven't seen them in a year, that's a bad habit. It's rude.
they're ignoring you for Facebook. In other words, they won't visit you because they need to be on Facebook.
No, I'm saying, like, I'll go out to dinner with someone, and it's just them and me, and they'll just be, I want to chat with them, you know? I haven't seen, let's catch up, and they're looking at their Facebook, looking at their Tinder, all that shit. It's just incredibly rude.
It's a horrible habit. I deleted Facebook off my phone last week.
Again?
Yep.
Oh, wow. What made you decide to get off of Facebook?
There's nothing of any value to it. There's nothing. Absolutely no value to it at all for me.
Ah, okay.
I get some good links every now and then. Somebody will post some cool video, and I'm glad I saw it, but I'm not addicted to it. I can take it or leave it. Every now and then, maybe once a month, I'll get off Facebook because someone sent me a message saying, you've got something on Facebook waiting for you.
Yeah. I use it mainly for networking purposes because I just really like LinkedIn.
I'm more of a LinkedIn person because that's kind of my wheelhouse.
Right.
Facebook, I'm not getting any business out of Facebook.
Well, I found out about a new kind of Facebook today. Somebody brought it up to me. It's something called FitLife or FetLife, which is apparently Facebook for people with fetishes. So I thought I should let Greg know about that one.
That could be interesting fetishes. At least.
FetLife. You don't have a fetish, Greg.
My fetish is asexuality.
I found it so hard to believe.
No, I mean, I do have my
fetish. I can imagine you in like a full rubber suit with a red rubber ball in your mouth. That's kind of like what I'm thinking.
Or a sexy men's habit.
How long have you been thinking about that, Matt?
About 3 seconds when I just made it up.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Sure, Matt. Okay. I know what to get you for Christmas. Right. A little photo shoot.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I've never saw that Dom, you know, up. No, I get it. No, that's totally, fine.
That left a lot to interpretation, Brendan. I don't know what that was you just did, but it certainly, you didn't give an opinion, and yet you gave one at the same time.
Years of public relations.
Right. So one that's a serious bad habit for many of our youth are video games, where they've like taken over their lives and they're not actually doing anything with the exception of maybe working and then playing video games. I don't know if you guys have witnessed that occurring or not.
Is that a habit or just they really like, I mean, like I used to watch tons of movies when I was a kid. That's the new entertainment medium for kids. Video games have gotten pretty entertaining.
Yeah, but when does entertainment stop being entertainment? It becomes detrimental.
I guess if you're not doing anything else that you need to get done.
Yeah, well, you're like just like drinking, visiting other people. You're not socializing in any way. You're just basically at work and then home in front of a game and just playing the game until, you know, you're not getting enough sleep and you get to work late and that type of thing. I think that would be.
Well, that's like television, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I grew up like
sure, which would also be a bad habit too, right?
Yeah.
I've got two boys and they played video games and they held jobs and they came home and they played video games. And if they didn't have video games, they would have been watching television or they would have been doing something else. I think the point it becomes a bad habit is like anything. It's like, you know, you can have a glass of wine with dinner or two and, you know, you're fine. Or you can like be a freaking raging alcoholic. It's, at the point it starts affecting your outside life, then it's a bad habit. Otherwise,
not getting
it's just
your
something
shit
else to do.
Right. There is where the infernal nature of it comes into play is the thing that takes, like you could do a little bit of heroin. Some people I'm sure could. Like some people can just smoke a couple of cigarettes. But some people could do a little bit of heroin and not get addicted to it. They could do it, quote unquote, recreationally. Not have that addiction. That's a bad habit because it's against the law in that sense. But if you could get away with just doing small amounts of drugs here and there over the course of a year, not every day, is it a bad habit?
It is with heroin because most guys do get addicted. It's pretty rare. I've known a lot of people who've done heroin. I don't know many who'd be like, oh yeah, I did it 3 or 4 times. It's pretty fun. They usually just become addicts. It's a dangerous drug.
You know, the different drugs are, Greg's right. I mean, different drugs are different. I mean, crystal meth and heroin is not something you want to play around with, but I don't know, mushrooms or weed or whatever, fine.
Yeah, I never heard of an LSD addict in my life. All the guys I knew took LSD, none of them were ever addicted to it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever heard of an LSD addict either. I think that was one.
No, I took a lot of it. I never became addicted.
Yeah, I think that just used up a lot of your time.
Yeah, but it was a good use of time. I love LSD. It was a great trend.
You know, The thing about it is, if you're just looking at a dollars for product thing,
oh yeah, quite true.
Yeah. Really, really cheap for hours and hours and hours of altered states.
Yeah, we're not advocating drugs, boys and girls. Just so you know, we're not.
Oh, I am. Try LSD, everyone. It's a wonderful mind-expanding consciousness.
And make sure
drug.
You drive a bus before after you take it.
And go to a high building because you can fly. It's awesome.
If any of our listeners are planning on doing this, and I don't recommend it, but if they would, you need to have a buddy who's not on the drug with you at all times. This is coming from wisdom of experience.
Right. If you don't have good self-control about things, you should have a friend with. If you have general self-control, you can do it on your own and be okay.
I used to do it by myself a lot. Yeah. I'd take four hits. I'd trip hard. And just my brain would just, oh man, it was so much fun. I'd understand the whole universe for 3 hours.
So why do you still take it, Greg?
No, it's just I think you do run out of time in your life. Even though I don't have kids and a family, I have a crappy job. It still seems like as you get older, you have less free time. Because that's a day. LSD. And maybe a day and a half.
2 days, really. The day where you're doing it and the next day recuperating from
it. Exactly. So it's I don't really seem to have, even though I don't do much in my life, it's just harder to do. But I probably would love to do it again if I was out of work or something.
What if you did that?
As soon as I get fired from my job, I'll start doing LSD again.
Do you think if you're on LSD and then you did heroin while you're on LSD, what kind of effect would it have on you?
I don't know.
I think it would be a huge buzzkill.
Probably would. Because, you know, drinking on LSD would kind of mute the effects. My friends would take LSD and then get drunk and be like, dude, you're killing half the buzz of the LSD. It deadens your brain.
No, Greg, you know what you did. You did it and then you drank orange juice.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that. Huh? It would activate the LSD things or whatever. Yeah. The lysergic acids would get increased by the orange juice.
No, yeah. If you definitely, it was
I never heard this story before.
Yeah. In the LSD world, if you were doing LSD, you didn't drink, you didn't smoke pot, you didn't do anything else, but you drank lots of orange juice. First of all, it helps because a lot of the LSD is cut with strychnine and other kind of toxic fucking chemicals.
Right.
So it kind of reduces a little bit of that bullshit, and you get thirsty. So rather than drinking beer, which is what some people do, if you drank orange juice, it did expand the overall effect of the drug.
I had a cousin, a first cousin from mother's first cousin, who said he was a vegetarian because he got better highs from LSD, which I thought was an interesting reason to be a vegetarian.
I knew some kids, they were teenagers at the time, and they'd always get the shitty LSD that I used to get in Tucson, you know, tons of strychnine, so your teeth would be grinding.
Don't eat that. Take the brown acid.
Do you know about that? Yeah, do you know about that? If it's bad acid with strychnine, it makes your teeth grind. You're just And so they finally got some good acid after years, and it didn't make their teeth grind because it was pure, and they felt ripped off. They were like, this isn't the right shit. How come our teeth aren't wanting grind? You know, they didn't know what good acid was supposed to feel like.
They couldn't tell from the other effects?
Well, I think they liked the other effects, but they also thought it was this isn't right.
It's part of the process. No, I stopped doing blotter acid at a certain point. It was just getting direct vials of
oh my.
You got to be careful with that shit.
I would put it in my eye.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Does this explain some things now, Greg, about Brendan?
Yes. To this day, if I just take a little piece of paper, I don't know, every now and then, I don't know why, maybe I'm ripping out something, an envelope, and just having a piece of paper in my mouth for a second, that taste, it will give me a little flashback.
It reminds you of the day.
Yeah, it almost like when I grind my teeth.
Got a little cartoon character on a little square piece of paper.
Yep. I think
I
ate Mr. Natural.
LSD talk.
Yeah, that's not a bad
Let's
habit.
Talk about
Welcome to LSD, the podcast.
Welcome to Wavy Gravy and the Friends.
All right, how about not getting enough sleep? Would that be considered a bad habit? I mean, because that could affect you. If you make that happen on a regular basis and not getting enough sleep, it could definitely be bad, you know, if it starts piling up after a while and you're groggy and it could be dangerous to other people.
Is it a bad habit if you have insomnia? I mean, there are, you know, issues that people have with, you know, just getting 8 hours of sleep in a night.
Well, insomnia is a condition. That's different than a habit.
So what would constitute a habit in this case?
Like deliberate, like staying up too late when you know you should be going to bed.
I feel like we're talking about your teenagers.
Yeah.
We've gone from video games to
I don't think you know what my sleep schedule is, Brendan.
Yeah, Matt just wants free counseling now, and he doesn't want to pay for a counselor, so he has us answer his questions about his teenagers.
I'm not talking about – Greg, you know what my sleep schedule is like. I don't have insomnia. I'm just up all freaking night. I stay up till 5 or 6 in the morning
for no reason. But when do
Are you
sleep
sure,
till,
though?
Am I sure of what?
Are you sure there's no reason why you stay up all night?
Well, I know what the reasons are, but they're not good reasons.
Like what?
Because you want to finish a Netflix show or...
Or that, yeah. Either binge-watching something or playing video games on my phone or working on the podcast and editing it and just re-listening to things. You know, where I could finish it off and go to bed and just do it the next day.
When do you wake up, though?
That varies. That varies from day to day.
I mean,
I wake up whenever
seven
I wake
hours
up.
Sleep?
It depends upon the day. Like last night, I got 4 hours of sleep.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I went to bed at 5 and I woke up at like 9.
You just have a different sleep schedule, though. I don't know if that's a bad habit. Some people like the nighttime. They're night owls.
You know, I've always felt like I should have some kind of real schedule, and then I work, then I get my own job, and which would keep me going until 3 o'clock in the morning anyway. So I got used to that schedule, but I'm not really doing that now. So it's like I've been trying to readjust and go to bed while my wife goes to bed. But what happens is I'll go to bed when she goes to bed. But then I'll just stay up playing games on my phone. I'm like, going, you know, I should put this away and just go to sleep, for crying out loud.
Right. Let me give you some perspective that may help. Holly can go to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock, as we've seen, and she's one of these people that just hits the pillow and she's out.
I'm actually like that too. I can fall asleep pretty fast.
I don't
have insomnia. No, I just stay up. I know. I stay up past the time. There's a reason I got what I call the catapult chair at home, which is a chair that it basically raises to get you out of the chair. One of it's because I'm just really fat and it's hard on my knees to get out of a chair. But the other reason is sometimes I'd be staying downstairs far longer than I should, and I get to a point where I'm so tired, I'm too tired to get out of the chair, but not too tired to fall asleep in the chair. So if I keep my thumb still works on the button, it forces me to get out of the chair.
I've been there.
It causes me to go to bed. So
there's a bar here.
I use that as like a bypass system to, you know, my own thoughts.
All right, well, you know what, Matt? That sounds like that might be a bad habit.
Yeah, it's not every day, but it happens enough where I'm annoyed by it.
I've been working on getting more sleep. That's a habit that I've been trying to change because I, you know, just based on work, I stay up late because I kind of have to. I'm not watching Netflix, although I do that sometimes too. So what I've been doing is something called polyphasic sleep, where what I'll do is I get about 5 hours, maybe 6 hours of sleep during kind of the night. And then I'll take a good hour, hour and a half nap at a certain point during the day. So I end up at around 7-8 hours of sleep, and I find that works for me.
Do that. I can't nap.
Because Matt is going on vacation again, you will be getting the second half of Client 14, Habits of Infernal Origin, from the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, next week, as there will not be a new episode. But we made this one specially long so we could give you two parts, and you get to wait all week to hear the next. It'll be loads and loads of fun. More bad habits, less nasal nuggets.
This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.